I was choked up watching that, and I had to have to gather myself because, last time I was here, the message was children are the present mission field, right? Anyone alive in our nation knows that if we don't reach the children right now, we're in for
trouble. So, thank you. I just thank you. Yeah, the volunteers. I don't know what's going on here. Should I turn these off? They're off. Okay. Thank you. You guys are the heroes. Jan, Kathy, Betty, Dottie, Barbara. Sorry, I'm missing Gloria. Robin. You guys are the heroes. You're going in every week. You're giving of your time and your heart, and you're giving the love of God to those children. And every time that I go and visit a Good News Club, I try to remind them of the truth that you are doing an eternal work. Like those children right there, you don't know that they're not going to grow up and be the next great missionary, the next great leader, the next pastor, the next, you'll never get to know until you meet the Lord Jesus. Really, the full impact of what you do for children. Right? That's the truth. So keep doing that. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep preaching the gospel to children. And I also want to thank you. Thank you to this church for sponsoring and supporting that Good News Club throughout the many years, even before COVID. Thank you, Jim, Pastor Jim, for spearheading that and encouraging this group of believers to go out into the community and to just to be that witness of the love of God in the school. And I've heard stories of that going around the district. So I'll talk a little more about that at the end if I have time. Thank you. And thank you also for the support of CEF. So this church has been very supportive of CEF. So in short, the Child Evangelism Fellowship been around since 1937. They're in almost every nation of the world, reaching children for the gospel. But what I love about us, is that not only just reaching children, but discipling them, right? You saw it right there. That young man, he knows the simple truth of the gospel. God is good. He's holy. He created us. He's the reason we're alive. He's loving. But we got a problem. We're sinners. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. But God in his love has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to give his blood to cover our sins so we can be back in right relationship with him. And then when we receive him, we believe in him, we're white, we're clean. Our sin is covered, right? And we can now grow in our faith. And that simple truth, Child Evangelism Fellowship does an excellent job at presenting that clear gospel to children. And that's one of the reasons that I'm so excited to be a part of that. I want to tell you one more testimony, and then we'll get into the notes. Does everybody have a copy of the notes? So I'm a teacher background, so you're going to have to forgive me. I used to teach a lot of middle school, so the fact that everyone is paying attention right now is a little distracting. So maybe like Barbara or somebody, you just like throw something during the sermon or poke the person in front of you, or, you know, that would make me feel a little more comfortable. So just kidding. So it was a few weeks ago I visited a club. Thank you. Let's keep that up. So I was visiting a club in Magnolia in one of the CR schools, and there was I was talking with one of the volunteers there. Is actually a pastor. I noticed there was a boy that I had visited the club early on, and he was quite a distraction, to put it mildly. He was blurting out of his seat, really a problem. So I noticed him this time. It was a few weeks ago, which months had gone by, and I said, I noticed that boy. What happened? Like he's calm. He's at peace. He knew all the Bible answers. And he said, well, it's pretty neat. Like, his family is now going to the local church, and he's getting baptized on Easter Sunday because of Good News Club. And that man, he had talked to the parents, you know, during the pickup time, and he's like, well, the boy went home, and he's telling his parents, we got to go to church. We got to, you know, the children are doing the witnessing. And that's, I saw that happen a few times that day. Like, the children are going home saying, Mom and Dad, we got to go to church. Like, we got to be part of a church. So they attend that church, and he got baptized on Easter Sunday. It's pretty cool, huh? So, all right, so today's message is called 10 Things That Children Need. And if you would, I would like to, I want us to think of this in two perspectives, okay? So the first perspective is that we are God's children. And so whenever, through all these truths that we're going to learn, now there's like, we can make 100 things that children need. This is not an exhaustive list, and it's not really in order either. But we are the children of God. So the first way I want us to take this is like us personally in relationship to God our Father. In John 21, Jesus, in his resurrection, he called out from the shore to the disciples, children, do you have any fish? So he, even in after being with his disciples, grown men for years and years, he still called them children. In John, 1 John 3:1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. We could probably just meditate on that one verse this whole for the whole time, and we could go home like fulfilled, really. God loves us to such an extent that he calls us his children. Isn't that a wonderful truth? That no matter how long we live, we're always going to be the children of God. I mean, that's so good to me. 1 John 2:28 says, and now, little children, 1 John uses that a lot. It refers to us as his little children, even though we're mature in the faith. Abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So we, number one, are his children. And because we're his children, we get to relate with him in a special way, in an intimate way. And then obviously the second one is, how can we apply these truths to the children in our lives? So I just want you to think about the children that God has put in your lives. Your own biological children is an obvious thing. But if you have grandchildren, and then any children that God has put in your neighborhood or in the Good News Club. So I want you to just try to think of like specific children that are in your life. How can you apply this message to them and be a source to give the things that they need? Okay. So number one, this is where the blanks come in. Children need security and unconditional love. That's the first blanks right here. God is a covenant God. He will keep his promises. And because God is secure, we can be secure. Because God is true and he will not ever lie, we can have that security. We can have that unconditional love for ourselves. John 10:28-29, Jesus says, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. We have that security with God that can't be broken, right? Romans 11:1, God is saying, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. And then right before that chapter, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient, contrary people. God has never forsaken his people. He will keep his covenant with us. So God is not moving or changing on us, right? We need to be that for children. We shouldn't move or change for children. We need to be that strong rock for them. And one of the ways we do that is we keep our word. And they need to see a strong rock in us. And when they look at us, they see that, wow, that's love. That's unconditional love. And then they can believe that God is that way as well. Number two, children need to be fed. And I'm talking about spiritually fed here. John 21:15, Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me?" And we know that Peter, they have a little conversation there, and he's hurt. He asks him three times. But he says, "Feed my lambs." If we love Jesus, we're going to feed his people. 1 Peter 2, it says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby." So our food is God's word. That's the true spiritual food that we need, right? Jesus said when he was tempted, man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. His word is what we need to be fed as his children. And then Jeremiah 15:16, it says, "Thy words were found, and I ate them. Thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Is the word of God your food? Is it your daily bread that you feed on, that gives you joy, that fills your spirit and fills your heart with life? The Bible says it should be. And then also, we need to feed that to our children, the children that God's placed in our lives. Are you actively feeding the children and your grandchildren the Word of God? Here's a really practical way to do that. Let's say you're having grandchildren over. Just prepare a time beforehand and say, "You know, I want to share with you what God has been showing me in the Bible. Can you sit down with me for 10 minutes? And tell them what God has been showing you." Children need to be fed. Are they getting fed by the things in the world? No. That is a diet of malnutrition. Right? And we see that. That should be no surprise. So if they're getting a constant diet of wickedness, evil, perversity, those things, we have to be all the more intentional of feeding them the truth about God's word. Right? Number three, children need to be clothed. Romans 13:14. "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Proverbs 31, I love these verses. It's talking about the virtuous woman. "She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come." We see here that the virtuous woman is clothed herself in honor. And she's clothing her household with fine linen and scarlet. And that's a picture of one of the things that it means to be godly is to clothe ourselves in honor because we're God's children, right? And then we do that for others. We help them know what they need to put on. I'm going to skip one of those. I wrote down here, clothing tells yourself and others what you think of yourself. So what children need to know who they are, and then they will dress appropriately, right? Is it like when you see young people dress nice, don't you think, I like that, right? And it helps them walk in that, you know? So children need to be clothed. They need to be, they need to have the right things to put on. And really that comes from the Word of God. It's an outward expression of what's inside. Okay, number four. Children need to be taught and guided. And again, this we want to think of this for ourselves, but we want to think of this for the children that God's put in our lives. John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." We as God's children, like he is constantly guiding us. He's showing us which way to go, right? In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." We need guides. We need teachers to show us which way to go. What's right? What's wrong? Do this. Don't do that. And in Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Children need training. They need a guide. And when they get that guide early on, they'll keep to that in the end, right? And also, we need a hero. Children need a hero, and they need a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that is happy keeps the happy is he who keeps the law. Proverbs 29:18 says. when I think of when you look at children, they need someone to be a hero for them. They need someone that they look up to, and they say, "When I grow up, I want to be like that person. I want to do what that person is doing." That's one of the reasons I love the missionary stories in the Good News Club, because every one of these missionary stories, they kind of go like this. It's a person who maybe doesn't have a lot of natural abilities, but they say, "God, I will give you my whole life, and I will do whatever you want me to do, and I will go wherever you want me to go." And God says, "All right, I'm going to send you here." And they go here, and they go there, and they're like, "Oh, wow. God, what am I going to do?" And they seek God's face, and God uses that person to do wonderful things, right? That's what all the missionary stories, that's pretty much the formula. And children need to see that. They need to see that, what does a life look like that's laid down for Christ? If they see that, they'll say, "Man, I want that. I want to be that when I grow up." And it just takes that one seed, right? And they remember that. So, God, give us grace to be that hero for children and grandchildren. You know, and it looks different ways, right? It doesn't mean that we have to go necessarily to the mission field. But what if they see us as someone who gives everything for God? What if they see us as someone who just really tries to, like, open our lives and our hands to God and to those around us? Don't we know that's going to affect our children? Our children are going to see that, and that's going to guide them. That's going to teach them, right? Okay, number five, children need to be protected. I could spend a long time on this. It's not the same as when I grew up today. Today is not the same when I grew up. It's just evil is more prevalent, and it's more accessible. And the stuff that children have access to, if they're not protected, is far worse than when I was a child. And everybody knows that, right? So we have to protect them. I just encourage you to pray and to ask the Lord, how does He want you to protect your children and your grandchildren? What can you do to say, "I'm going to shield them from evil"? Ask what God would have you do. They need that protection. If they don't, it's like a city with no walls. You know, a city builds walls to keep the enemy out. The enemy can't just come in whenever they want. But if a city has no walls, anybody, come in, steal, leave, anything can come in, right? Through technology and social media and all that stuff, it's kind of like there aren't any walls. If you and I don't take an active role in protecting them and say, "You know what? I'm going to build this wall right here, and I'm going to protect them from evil." My children aren't going to know that evil. Instead, they're going to be protected in Christ. I'm going to protect them in the truth of God's word. Are you guys with me? We have to do that. we have to do that as a family of God. John 10:17, Jesus says, I lay my life down for the sheep. He protects. When a wolf comes, Jesus says, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight that wolf. But he says the hireling doesn't. The hireling just lets them do whatever. But Jesus, he protects us. One way we do that is through prayer. The Lord encourage us to pray, deliver us from the evil one. So be a shield for them against evil. Number six, children need to explore, create, have fun. I need to read this verse here. So in Zechariah 8, all right, look at your neighbors. See if your neighbor's filling in all the blanks. Anybody need to point anybody out? Anybody not filling in the blanks? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so right here, we got somebody over here. Okay, thank you. Nice job. Okay, listen to these verses. I love this. So this is talking about when Christ returns. This is verse Zechariah 8, verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Do we see that today? It's a beautiful day out. Nobody's playing outside. Children need that, though. They need to explore, to play, to create. And you know what? We're God's children. So what do we need to do? Explore, create, have fun. I remember this one time, I don't have the greatest memory, so I don't know when this was, but I know that it was maybe somewhere like 10 years ago, and it was just pouring down rain, and the kids are like, let's go outside and play in the rain, and I remember thinking, oh man, and then I was like, come on, you need to be a good dad, let's go, so So we went out there and we just played in the rain and it was just pour. I mean, we were soaked. And I remember just thinking, wow, this is exactly what I needed. This is so good. So don't forget, sometimes you need to do that. You know, you need to create. You need to explore. You need to have fun. And children need that too. They just need that. On a daily basis, they need to play outside and enjoy God's creation. And the Bible says that is good. You know that when the Lord returns, the streets are going to be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Like, that's the way it should be, right? They should be playing outside in the streets. And I want to say this, screens stifle creativity. So my background is in teaching. Used to be a teacher. I mean, it would be like, it's almost like the more that kids are on screens, the less creative they are. It's like a direct, I mean, so if whatever's in your power to block this, to limit the screens, it's very, very important. So I just want to throw that in there. Okay, I'm not going to belabor that point. Number seven, children need to be enjoyed, delighted in. I think this might be number one. But if we really know how much God delights in us, how much He really loves us, there's nothing that's gonna shake our faith. There's nothing that's gonna change our walk. If we really know how much God truly loves us and really delights in us. He doesn't tolerate us. You know, if I really think that God is just, here he goes again, he did it again. If I believe that, that is going to really affect the way that I live. The same with children. If children know that we enjoy them, we delight in them, they will have a great confidence to live. If they don't have that, it really gives them a weak foundation. Look at the story of Joseph and Jacob. Genesis 37, it says, Israel, which is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. He made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably to him. So we see that Jacob delighted greatly in Joseph. And that was really good for Joseph. He knew that his father loved him. But that favoritism caused anger in his brothers, and they hated him because of that. So really take delight in your children and in your grandchildren. One of my good friends is actually a Jewish man, and I pray for him that he will know Jesus as the Messiah. But one of the things I really, really respect about him is that he really invests in his grandchildren. He has a grandson named Jackson, and he takes his grandson out to breakfast like every Thursday. You just take him out to breakfast every Thursday. And when I talk to him, he always would be like, it doesn't matter how long I would talk to him, he'd always tell me about Jackson, his grandson. One time I told him, like, Roger, you know, your grandson's really blessed to have you. And it's not like he has to try. I mean, he loves his grandson, right? He wants to spend time with them. And that kid, he's a young adult now. He deposited that strong foundation of love in him, and he knows that he's valuable, right? You and I have that power to do that to our children and our grandchildren. When we take delight in them, when we just enjoy them, we give them just like a strength in their hearts that they know that they're valuable. And really, we're being like God, aren't we? Because doesn't he value our children and our grandchildren? Didn't he make them in his image? So when we do that, we're just giving them the truth of how God loves them, right? But this is a really big need. I know that, like when I was in the classroom, if I knew that a child in my classroom, like a lot of times if they were like disruptive or they were a problem, it was really because deep down they thought they were a problem. You know what I mean? Deep down they thought about themselves that they weren't good. And I would get through to that. I'd talk to them, hey, you know, why are you behaving like that? And through the years they had just developed this condition that they knew that they were just a problem. And I try to talk that out of them. I try to teach them the truth. You know, you don't have to be that. You're not a problem to me. Like, we can work on this. And they're like, wow, that would really surprise them. And if they knew that I like them, and maybe they cause a lot of other teachers problems, but if they knew, I'd really try to make an effort in the beginning. They need to know that I care about them and I like them, that the problems would go away, right? This is a truth that children need to know that they're delighted in. Let's go to number 8. Children need a good name. They need to be blessed. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is chosen to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor is to be chosen rather than silver or gold. Jacob and Esau. So remember when Jacob came in to steal the blessing from Esau. Esau came in afterwards and figured out what happened. He, in Genesis 27:36, he cried out to Isaac, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Esau said to his father, do you only have one blessing, my father? Bless me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Jacob and Esau understood the power of a blessing. Do we understand the power of blessing when we bless our children, when we bless our grandchildren? Jonathan, will you come up here? I didn't ask him to do this before. Are you okay to come up here? Sometimes when I tuck my children in, and I don't do this enough, but I just want to show you how I might bless them and how you could bless your children, your grandchildren. Is that okay? Jonathan, my son, I love you so much. I bless you. God, may your face shine upon Jonathan. May you give him strength and joy in his life. May he know you. May he walk with you. And may he bring many people into your kingdom. May he always be close to you. Shield him from the enemy. And Lord, give him a victorious life with you. May we always be close, and may we always work together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, buddy. So, you know, when you have your grandchildren, your children come to you, just pour out what's in your heart to them. Put your hands on them and bless them. And tell them again and again who they are, who God says they are. Guess what? When you do that, will they believe it? Yes. Like we said before, they're getting all kinds of other messages. Children today, they're not getting messages of who they are in the truth, right? Who's going to give it to them if it's not us? Like, we have to give that to them. We have to tell them who they are. We have to bless them. We have to pray for them. And when we do, it works. Right? They will walk in it. So bless your children. Bless your grandchildren. And look for examples of blessing in the Bible. So when Jesus was born, he was brought to the temple, and Simeon, he raised him up and he blessed him. Right? And then and God taught Aaron how to bless the children of Israel, the Aaronic blessing. That's in Numbers 6. You got that there. Okay. I need to bring this to a close here. Number 9, children need to feel successful. I got some verses here, but I really want to focus on Genesis 4:7. God said to Cain, "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." This is a need that we as God's children, we need to feel successful. We need to feel that we have done well, that we've done a good work, right? And children need to feel that too. When they feel successful, it helps them live with confidence. So teach them how to do well in whatever it is. Hey, you're doing the dishes? Let me show you how to do a good job, right? If you're whatever you're doing, teach them how to do well. I'm skipping the rest. Let's go to number 10. Children must be with you. We're called to be with the Lord Jesus. You know, when Jesus called his disciples, he called them first, before he called them to do the great works and to preach the gospel, he called them to be with him. That's what it says. And Jesus says that he will give us the Holy Spirit, another helper, that he would abide with us forever. The Spirit of Truth in John 14. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." In Hebrews 13:4, it says, "The Lord is my helper. He will never leave me." In the very end, in the Revelation 21, God says, "God will tabernacle with his people. The tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." That's how it's all going to end. So be with your children. Children need you and I to be with them. A child left to himself will cause shame to his mother, is what the proverb says. That means if we just leave children off to themselves, they're going to end up bringing shame to their mother. We have to teach them, right? We got to be with them. So I don't know about you, but when I was looking through this list, I felt, wow, children need a lot of things. what a grand task that we have to be this to our children, to show them the love of God. And then my next thought was, I need God's grace to fill that. I need Him to give me more of His grace, to help me be better at showing who He is to other people, right? I need to remember that I'm His child, and I need to get all my love and all the things that all my protection and how to be clothed, to be fed, all those things from Him, so that I can be that for children. So children in our families, children and grandchildren in our families, children in our community, they need to see God's love. How are they going to see it and experience it? Through His children, through people like in the Good News Club that teach them, show them every week who God is. And also, in closing, I would like to ask, I was really, really blessed to see that PowerPoint slide and to visit your guys' Good News Club. You have a really, really wonderful club, really. We have a lot of work to do throughout the state. Like, if every school had your club in their school, think of what a change we would make. Every school needs to have a club like yours in their school. And I have like 3 to 5 schools that are kind of like on the back burner of going to start a new club in the fall. So please join me in praying about that. And then if you know anyone, if you know people in schools or you know people that want to get involved, please pray about that and be a witness of what you saw, what a Good News Club can do, right? I want to see Good News Clubs in all the Dover schools, east, west, south, north, Hartley. So please pray about that. Please join me in just praying that we'll be able to partner with churches like this to get into those schools and to eventually bring families into the churches, right? That's one of the points of the mission of CEF is to disciple and evangelize boys and girls, but then get them connected to the local church so they can grow. So if you want to get involved in any way, I know many of you are, but anyone else, just go to our website, cefdelaware.org, and you could do any of those. You could volunteer, contact. If you want to be on the mailing list, I did bring some newsletters. I know many of you get those already, but on that back table, if you want like a hard copy of a newsletter, I think it's very inspiring. You can grab that before you leave. But will you pray with me that we will be able to reach the children of our community? It's a great need. But God hears their prayers. And I pray that God would send all the laborers into the harvest, right? So will you join me in praying for that? Father, thank you for being our Father. Thank you for calling us your children. Thank you that you are a strong rock for us. And I pray, God, that you would bless this Good News Club here at New Harvest. I pray that you just continue to use them in a mighty way at Town Point Elementary. And I thank you so much for their commitment to serve you and to serve the children. God, I ask that the children that are in that club, God, that you would just protect them in your hand, that they would grow up and walk with you, Jesus, even from a young age, and that you'd use them in a mighty way for your kingdom. And we ask you, God, to send more laborers into the harvest fields. We ask you to open up Good News Clubs all throughout Dover and all throughout Delaware so boys and girls can know you, the one true God, and to come into light. And we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.